String 7. Ur-didact. Gravitation on the control deck had been turned off to save energy and avoid accidents. As we drifted within the flickering displays, I began to feel confined. The direct view was no less oppressive, but I preferred using my eyes to relying on the ship. All hulks sent into the burn, including ours, according to Sharp, had been decommissioned and listed as salvaged or destroyed. None of them officially existed. We were abandoned, thrown aside. But it turned out I had been afforded quite a clever crew. Clever and deeply motivated. Even more motivated as the precursor snarl loomed. Yet as fast as Maker worked, she was not fast enough. The ship's systems were still bulky, and the revived Ancilla showed alarming signs of autonome dementia. Ships are taking up formation around the Tangle, Sharp observed. How could we have ever presumed to understand such ancient technology, even to the extent of believing it to be inactive? It was not dead. It had simply bided its time, waiting for the proper moment. The same thing might be happening throughout the galaxy. I replayed in memory what we had seen at Charim Hakor. The aftermath of the Master Builder's insidious halo test. The disintegration of all precursor structures, including the star roads. Halo radiation disrupts neural physics, and the theoretically analogous process of neural physics is often invoked to explain precursor technology. Space-time is a kind of organism within itself, apparently subject to the destructive radiation of the halo. Whatever that thing is, it may not be invulnerable, I said. Maker gave me a skeptical look. It's bigger than any spacefaring construct we've made, she observed. If it is spacefaring, Sharp said, doubt and hope mixed. It's faring well enough to ward us, Maker said, backing away from her labors. Catalog pushed up its many eyes and wands. I have transferred my report and received a response. The juridicals would very much like for all of you to survive to testify. To that end, they are extending communication privilege to this ship. We may be able to arrange a direct link to the Capitol and the Council, or to anybody you think is better equipped to advise us on how to return to the Orion complex. How kind, I said. Are you certain the juridicals aren't still in league with the Master Builder? Certain we weren't sent here just to die or be absorbed by the Flood? Catalog grew sleek, like an animal dropping its ridge fur. Sharp watched me closely. You have that look, he said. I'm curious as to your reasoning, Didact, if I may be allowed a glimpse. Not yet, I said. The others regarded me with concern. We need to learn who's in charge of those ships. The juridical link may not be open much longer, Catalog warned. There is a tremendous amount of traffic throughout the Ecumene. Massive evacuations. If those wheels begin to move again, it added, all bets are off. For a moment, all of us were lost in even darker thoughts. Billions of forerunners fleeing the Flood in millions of vessels. Before my exile, I had helped plan just such evacuations. Sharp's chest muscles gave a brief quiver. The Flood may have us in a few hours, he said. I'd like to face that believing there is purpose to our sacrifice. Of that I'm not yet convinced, I said. I looked out across the night-dark orb of Uthera, switching from display to direct view, as if one or the other might hold answers to questions I was reluctant to ask. I focused on Catalog. Very well. Your channel is open. How did the Flood take over these systems? Query the juridicals about that. Did they depose the commanders in charge of the zone's defense? At first, my request seemed too much for Catalog. Again, it withdrew its eyes and sensors, and its carapace became smooth. But then it bristled. All those answers are available, if they will be of service in removing us from this danger. Your testimony is most important. I turned to Sharp. You were here, weren't you? That's why you've been returned. Why don't you tell us what happened? Sharp drew up his knees. His face worked through a variety of expressions. Finally, he said, this system lies outside of the Jet-Krula protected boundary.
TT, Maginot Sphere.
All systems beyond Jet Krula have been left to fend for themselves. The Ecumene, last I heard, was focused on preserving what lies inside the boundary. I was all too familiar with Jet Krula. During one of our interminable civil wars, 500,000 years before my birth, Jet Krula had been a formidable strategy of fortified defense, designed to control frequently traversed manifolds in the Orion complex. Key to Jet Krula was vigilance over all conceivable slipspace entries and portals, the necessary and most efficient avenues of slipspace travel. Millions of fixed fortifications had been spread like beaded curtains between hundreds of systems, standing vigil over a collective of jump solutions, protecting historic routes that supported trade as well as offensive and counteroffensive maneuvers. Any major assault force, it was reasoned, must pass through this hyperspherical boundary, and the boundary, so planners insisted, could at a moment's notice be rendered impassable, solid, impregnable. Then a legion of revolutionary warrior commanders decided to forego crystal-mediated slipspace and instead flew 20 attack squadrons naked through a non-manifold array, bypassing the Jet Krula defenses. The passage was savage. Their squadrons suffered 50% losses, but the remaining ships emerged within the boundary and quickly overwhelmed 14 key systems. This brave and catastrophic act should have forever changed Forerunner strategy. Jet Krula became a sobering object lesson taught to warrior servants at all levels. There was no such thing as an impregnable defense. Yet if I were to believe this former warrior servant, what had once been old and outmoded was again novel and exciting, ignoring the deadly lessons of history. "We're ruled by idiots," I murmured.
"It gets worse," Sharp said.
"The Master Builder seemed to believe that by demonstrating the force of the Halos out in the open, the Flood, by which I suppose he meant grave minds, would see we were willing to suffer total destruction rather than defeat. That could explain what had been done at Charim Hakor, a tactical demonstration, like threatening to cut one's own throat if an aggressor came too close. Jet Krula, combined with suicidal intent." I felt my skin grow hot. Madness!
"I warned them,"
Maker of Moons said quietly. I could not absorb all of this for many minutes. Maker did her best, with Sharp's help, to bring the ship back to cruising power, but multiple systems failed just as they were engaged. We were overtaken by the vast weave of reawakened star roads, spinning and churning like serpents in a huge nest. The graceful and haunting structures of our deep past now made fell and horrifying. The tangle looped around Uthera, deftly avoiding intersecting the planet. Then, incredibly, the planet itself began to crack and shrink, as if squeezed by a huge fist. The resulting shift in our orbit thrust us farther into the mass. An entire planet was being destroyed, just to draw us closer.
"This is the way precursors moved stars," Maker whispered.
The ships escorting the tangle were near enough to reveal their outlines. I recognized roughly 4 classes of vessels. The newer designs were unfamiliar, but they were all Forerunner.
"Channels for communication still open," Catalog said. "There is still time left for testimony."
"Oh, shut up,"
Sharp said. I had to look upon this fate as one way, not the best way, to be sure, to learn what was really happening in our galaxy. The others, I decided, should try to make their escape, if such was possible, while I offered myself as bait. I at least had the consolation of knowing that my imprinted duplicate was capable of handling most of the challenges I might have faced had I survived. Some part of me would live on, free and unmolested. "Can the stasis bubbles be re-energized?" I asked Sharp by striking.
"The ship should be able to generate that much power."
"But why?" And then he understood.
"The bubbles leave no sensor profiles. We could blow up the ship and still survive. They might not capture us right away, or even know we exist."
"Lost forever in orbit," Maker said.
"Better that than part of a grave mind," Sharp said.
"I wonder,"
Catalog said.
"Go,"
I said. Just before Maker descended into the transit hatch, she looked back at me.
You're not coming?
Not yet, I said. She knew.
You'll give yourself up to them?
She asked. A poor plan. Probably my last. Don't even think of joining me. She watched for a moment.
You never did like builders much, did you?
Not much.
Well, you'll need this, she said,
and removed her armor. It unwound and floated free of her limbs and torso, still quivering, as if reluctant to leave her unprotected. She pushed the compacting bundle my way.
It won't be much use to me in stasis, but you knew I'd leave it for you, didn't you?
I hoped as much. It's tough to survive an exploding ship in one's underwear.
I'd rather stay with you, she said.
No doubt.
Or you can enter stasis and I'll direct the ship.
Not an option. During our exchange, Catalog had not moved.
I have been instructed to stay with the Didact at all costs, it said. My carapace is capable of surviving vacuum and other inclement conditions. It may be tougher than your armor.
Spoken with real courage. Despite myself, I was touched. We are shamed by this example, Sharp said, eyes downcast. We all serve, I said. And to Catalog, stay then.
I will tell them what you did if I live,
Maker said. Do that, I said. The slithering, sibilant noise of grapplers surrounded us. Maker vanished down the hatch, followed by Sharp, who lifted his hand and touched his chin. An honor to serve, Didact. Go, friend, I said. I never saw them again. Catalog remained. I was suddenly glad not to be alone. For the first time in many thousands of years, I felt real fear. No shame in that. I had seen what the Flood did to Forerunners. Together, Catalog and I set about finding a way to destroy the ship.